Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless.
It's my honor to get to introduce Ben Pasley today to share with us. I first got to hear Ben and Robin worshiping their hearts out with Enter the Worship Circle, and it was such a great time, and so fun to get to be involved with the conferences they've done, worship at 8500 up here, and just to get to know them. It's been so fun. He's a good, dear friend of Chris, and definitely a man of the kingdom, so I'm just so glad to have him come share.
Checking. Now I'm here. Hey, is that okay?
All right, cool.
Who likes a little Tom Petty? Come on, some of you classic rockers. They clean the house to classic rock. Let it out. Okay. I hear you. We're not going to do an album burning, so don't be afraid. I'm not going to make you throw away all your music that isn't... Hillsong. I don't know. Is that hip?
I don't know.
What's hipping with it now? Bethel, that's hipping with it. I'm not going to make you throw away all your music except for your Bethel worship. What is this song called? Yeah. 1980. Maybe four? How do you feel it? Where do you feel that came in? Anybody? Got a guess? Kids, you've heard your parents listening to it? When Dad cleans the garage? All right, Joe. Thanks for that. That gave me enthusiasm for life. I remember kids coming up, you know, when your kids hear your classic rock songs and they're trying to figure out what's going on because their friends at school aren't interpreting the lyrics to them. Here's a little tip for you. If you get bored at work one day and you need something to go, go to this website that's called Kiss That Guy. Oh, let me get this right, because if I tell you the wrong thing, I think I wrote it down. I just need you to, I think it's called Kiss That Guy, as in when Hendrix said kiss this guy. Oh, it's called Kiss This Guy, I think. You can go to this website and just read all the things that people have misinterpreted popular rock song lyrics to be. And this one, you got that song in your head. Some girl wrote in that her sister was in the car screaming at the top of her lungs, "You don't have to live like a recipe." All right, so I brought you a couple more because this was too fun for me. I laughed until I cried a little bit this morning. So we're back in the 70s, and you're at your prom, and that ABBA song comes on. You remember the song? See that girl, watch the scene, dig in the dancing queen. Got it? Somebody heard somebody singing. See that girl, watch her scream, kick in the dancing queen. Another one is that great Jefferson Starship song, "We Built This City on Logs and Coal." When I was a kid, honestly, I wrote this one in myself, the Steve Miller Band song, "Big Old Jet Airliner." I thought it said "Big Old Jed with a light on." I don't know who Big Old Jed was, but he was rocking with a light on. And my favorite, the Eddie Money song, "I've got two tickets to paradise." All right, you got it? You're there with Eddie? "I've got two chickens to paralyze." Yeah, it's worth the money. I played the song because Joe's going to put us an image up here on the screen. I wanted to get your mind into it. This seems like a terrible juxtaposition to the good time we were just having. I'm sorry. I didn't plan ahead on what would happen, but this is a refugee camp. And I want... Look, I really apologize for the sudden turn in the spirit. I really do. But I wanted to get your mind into the idea of being a refugee. We know what it is. Tom Petty said you shouldn't live like one. And we have ideas. And usually if I say the word refugee, the first thing that comes into a person's mind is the camp. So that's why I pulled the picture up, because that was the easy one. Let's pause for just a minute, and I want you to think with me. It'll help you if you close your eyes, and because I'm a distraction. And I want you to just ask yourself a couple of questions. How do you become a refugee? How are you defined as a refugee? Who decides that you are one? How do you live your life as a refugee? What are some pieces and parts to that? What is your purpose as a refugee? What's your primary purpose in living as a refugee? Okay, good. Glad you had a moment of silence and repose this morning to gather your thoughts. So let's get a little feedback. Let's just get our minds going. And I wish we were a small group around our table in somebody's living room who makes good coffee like Kiesling, but we're not. We're here in this big building. So you have to get over your fear of shame of being heard in a public place and yell things at me. Who decides that you're a refugee? Yeah, who would it be? If somebody else normally decides, who is it that tells you you're a refugee? The government, you said? The government? The government where you're from, or the government where you are? So give me some definition words that describe being a refugee. What is it, a person who visits Florida on a vacation? What is it? What is a refugee? Seeking asylum, what does that mean? Let's make that in easier words even. Displaced. Homeless. So asylum means to find a safe place, right? But is it in your home? It's in another place. And in the classic definition of refugee, right, it has to do with citizenship. That's why the word government came up. So when you think of refugee, you don't think about a local just not going to their favorite coffee shop or being displaced from, you know, their favorite hike. It's someone who's literally been taken out of their home country, and they're now in a new country, in a new space. And asylum or safety is what they were looking for as a refugee. Anything else on the definition? Anybody else have something? Okay, if you're a refugee, that's true. That's why you end up living in places like this, because where you're visiting isn't exactly welcoming you into the population, right? Which means that, and just looking at this picture, you know when you're a refugee, it says a lot about your personal economy, doesn't it? I mean, literally, where do you get money if you're a refugee? Somebody said, they whispered it because they were a little ashamed of public address, you don't have any. Didn't I hear that? Yeah, you don't have any because in the country that you're in, your money wouldn't work anyway. It may not even be there. So how do you have resources? There might be charity, that's true. Somebody might give you something. There might be relief organizations like the Red Cross could be camped just to the left side here providing some resources. If you needed some things from one another, you could trade or barter. And it might be that you could develop some resources of your own. But it's a hard question, isn't it? Where do I get my supply from is probably the nightmare of being a refugee. What happens next? And what will I eat tomorrow? And where is my provision? If you get some, then you could talk about bartering or developing. I'm pretty sure that the plastic that covers most of these buildings, they probably didn't bring with. That was probably part of a relief or a help organization helping the refugees in this picture. So tell me, what is your primary purpose if you're a refugee? Survive. That's the word. You hit the nail on the head and nobody ever misses it. It's true. Well, that was a good introduction, and I'll turn this conversation in a little different direction here in a moment, but I just wanted to pause. I realized I was in a great room full of people. I really like you, and it's nice to be here with you to share a little time. And we miss Chris. We love him, don't we? His family's here.
Represent.
You made more of an Arsenio Hall. You don't know who that is, but... but we do, and that's what matters. Yeah, it's very nice. It really is nice to be with you and to be introduced so kindly, and your worship team is fantastic. Did you notice that Kendall's using a new six-hand technique? She's not that good by herself, but the amazing six-hand technique is awesome. I'm believing for more beaters and pounders as well. I love Tim. He's my friend. But I was watching him, and I thought he needed a little team of tribesmen. So I'm calling to the tribesmen and women of this fellowship to consider beating and pounding alongside Tim. Nicolette will tell you how to join in. I'm sorry if I just messed up your plans for a solo drummer on every worship experience. And Tim, it's not because I'm dealing with your competency. I simply believe for your partnership. That's totally different. And your beard. Joe, are you growing your beard because of Tim, or was it the other way? Okay, it's a competition. It's friendly. It's called how much stuff from my desk drawer can I hide in my face? All right, I want to ask you another question. I'm going to have you close your eyes so we can make our transition. See that stuff in the middle? That was just to clear your mind. Let's flip up the next slide, but don't look at it because you got your eyes closed. And I want you to take on a new personality, a new position in the world. I'm going to give you a new word, and I want you to be this word. Ready? Ambassador.
How did you get to be an ambassador? Seriously?
Look around you in your space and where you are. Are you in your home country now? What does your supply look like? Where's your provision from? Who told you you were an ambassador? Who has decided that you were an ambassador? Who made the call on that? What is your purpose? All right, you can open your eyes now. I'm glad you had a second quiet space this morning to be with yourself. You can see where I'm going, and this is a great discussion, and you already like it. So, who decided that you were an ambassador? Whose government? Aha! Where's your supply from? What government? Aha! Well, where are you in the world? Aha, you're in a foreign country. You're not in your home country as an ambassador, unless you're just home on a break. But if you're functioning as an ambassador, then you're somewhere else. What does your living situation look like?
I hope it looks like that.
Some of you opened your eyes and said, yes. What is your purpose? Give me some words that define ambassador. We already did some, but what's an ambassador? A mediator. I guess that would be somebody who could be an in-between person. Like you can't, if a country wants to visit, they can't bring everybody. They send you. You're easier to deal with. One at a time. What else? Peacekeeper. Maybe somebody who's there to, build a friendly tone. Some sort of a relational connection. That's true. Classic in the definition of the ambassador. What else? You're going to represent. What do you get to represent? Your own sense of personal style? Your home country. Aha. So what is your primary purpose as an ambassador when you're sent by your home country to another country, and I heard peacekeeping, what's your primary purpose? Represent. That's the word. Nobody ever misses it. Did you get it too, Zane? See, even if you're in the eighth grade, barely making it through, like my son Zane. You can get, it wouldn't be funny if it was true. It's true. So now the question
comes to us, and you knew where I was going once we hit Ambassador. I wanted to just bring you a little encouragement. The finish line will be a little different from where we're starting, but I just wanted to bring you a little encouragement and ask you a question to see if you could assess your own journey. As a believer, are you living like a refugee, or are you living like an ambassador? It's an important question to ask. In both cases, you're not living in your home country. It's very clear, you know, when Paul writes about being a foreigner, an alien in this land, that we now, because of what Christ has done for us, our citizenship when we were born again was immediately transferred into the heavenly realm. Our passport immediately reads, righteous, crown of glory, belonging to God, citizen of heaven, part of the kingdom. And so as soon as we meet Jesus, we're immediately a foreigner in a strange land. But when we get transferred into our new land, we have the same questions to ask about ourselves as refugees and ambassadors. And it's still interesting to me how many believers practice the mindset of the refugee when we've been asked to participate in the mindset and the participation in this world as an ambassador. I'll turn you to some scriptures. So if you brought your Bibles, you could go ahead and turn open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a classic passage in the scripture that outlines this look at ourselves as ambassadors. And you might go ahead and stick your finger in Ephesians chapter 6 to mark your place. We might go over and look at that as well. We'll start, Dave, with verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 6. Now forgive me, I'm going to read out of an easy reader version, for I just happen to have it in my study notes in the New Living Translation, but you know, we can figure it out together. Verse 6 says, so we're always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord. So he's stating the fact that we're not in our homeland. But while we're in these bodies, we're in a different position, in a different place, not quite home. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Why is he saying that? Because the kingdom you belong to is the unseen realm, which hasn't yet been seen by us. We still live in the seen realm, and the seen realm is not our permanent home. It's our temporary place. The question is, how do you live while you're here? Because it doesn't last very long. Yes, we're fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies. That is, I'd rather be back on a break there. For then we'll be at home with the Lord. So whether we're here in the body or away from this body, our goal is to do what? To please him. And to please him, apparently, according to the scripture in Romans, the only way to please the Lord or to please God is through faith. And faith is this substance of connection where you realize that you trust him for everything and see him as your source for everything. This is our faith. Our faith is our connection to that which we don't see, because we put all of our chips on the table called the eternal kingdom, which means that you're not at home here. You've no longer made your primary investment in this world, and you don't expect your primary return to be from this world. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. Did you know that? You know, seriously, I'm asking you, it's not rhetorical. Did you know that? Sometimes I think I forget little things like that along my journey. I spend a lot of time with other believers, and we're working on big ideas like, you know, justice for the universe and how to get Krispy Kreme donuts back to Woodland Park or whatever it is. And sometimes we skip it. You know, we get into Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, and Paul is talking to him about, hey, I really want you to get into some more mature stuff like things I just mentioned, but I can't because you've moved past without learning the elementary things of the kingdom. And he lists in the elementary things eternal judgment as one of the six things. We all are going to stand before Christ to be judged. Why? Because every ambassador, I just can't wait anymore, I got to skip to the punch. Every ambassador has to give an account. And they don't give an account to the place where they're visiting. Who do they give an account to? The government who sent them. So our accounting, as we think about our future, our accounting will be with Christ, who will judge whether or not we ambassadored while we were... Is that the verb? Ambassed? It could get awkward if I keep trying more things. Yeah, he's going to And I think that's a good way to bring it up right now, this idea of representing. How we represented our new kingdom is how we will be judged when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, where he rewards everyone according to their works. The things that are eternal are the things that were required in our representation of the eternal kingdom. And the dead works, which don't receive any reward at all, are same, and they're mentioned in Hebrews 6 as well. They're the things that we did, but we were looking for approval in this world, and that they weren't sourced from the heavenly kingdom. I don't mind paraphrasing a lot of this for you because I'm building your imagination for what we're talking about together and where we're going to journey together. I'll continue to read verse 11. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, that makes it sound like a serious ambassadorship and not an optional one that you just tack on to the end of your Christian teaching catalogs. That ambassadorship in itself and how we represent is so serious that we should take it with a fearful expectation that we'll be accountable in the next life when we stand before the Lord. Are we commending ourselves? Nope. We know that we're sincere. God showed us that. Now, we're giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. What he's saying is there's a lot of people that want the approval of men, and you know who they are. But those people are getting their source, and they're getting paid, and they're getting judged in this world. Paul says if you want to brag, why don't you think about those of us who've decided that our reward will be in heaven, and we're only here to represent. Then he goes on and he begins to speak about, I like the way it says in verse 13, if it seems we're crazy, it's because we're bringing glory to God. He knows that when you represent an eternal kingdom and you're a foreigner in a strange land, that the locals are going to think it's a little nutty. You feel better, don't you, about yourself? That's why I'm here. Either way, Christ's love controls us. He goes on to talk about how he died for us. So we've stopped evaluating, verse 16, ready? This is continuing to make this clear point. We've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. In other words, we've stopped judging who we are as we live according to the rules of the country that we now occupy. Because their ideas about what is good and should be rewarded is strange and temporal, and their ideas of things that should be mocked and put down and refused does not always and hardly ever, I should say, agree with our new eternal way of thinking. At one time, we thought of Christ from a human point of view. How about that? Paul remembers when he thought of Jesus as a teacher, a rabble-rouser, a rebel leader, and a criminal. But all of those views of Christ were from what kind of point of view? Worldly point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And then God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Now, this is your representation task in practical function. Bovey said it, that to represent, Bovey didn't say it, you said it, was to bring, you said something good too, though. That an ambassadorship always contains the element of peacemaking. And this to me gets very exciting because I grew up in a small country church in Alabama. You can hear it in my accent, right? And in my attitude. And we would hear words like ambassador, and people would say we're ambassadors for Christ, and I would kind of imagine a little bit of this process, but it was sometimes difficult for me to make that become practical action. Because in my journey growing up, the practical action of being a Christian was limited to a very few little definitions. It had to do with, and maybe you've participated like this before too. I mean, it was agreeing with some doctrinal teachings about the Lord, you know, believing that he died for me and rose from the dead, generally believing that most of the scripture, at least the stuff that I liked, was true, and that participating in, that was funny, and, going to church and being a part of religious expressions and commitments was important. And, you know, I could go through a list like that, but a lot of it revolved around participating in the local church. Some kind of an expression, and if you didn't find your job or your staff or your volunteerism there, you really weren't quite sure if you could prove this ambassadorship business because it seemed difficult. I like this moment in the scripture because it gives me a little clue to how I can function in ambassadorship without a staff position in a local fellowship, because representing the Father's desire to make peace and bring people back to himself is a pretty good message. I mean, if I wanted an assignment as an ambassador, it would not be to go somewhere and have to tell them a bunch of stuff that they would, you know, really hate and nobody would want. I have this expectation that if people found out that in my kingdom, the Father loves spending time with his people and that there's provision and that there's healing and that there's eternal life and there's a cure for loneliness, that there's camaraderie, that there's a help in time of grief when there's loss and pain, that if I could deliver that, that I would be bringing a word of peacemaking and bringing a word of reconciliation so that people that felt broken and distant and didn't know how to have access to the things of the Lord, didn't know how to have a spiritual life that was healthy at all, there must be some way in my life, using my own language and my own resources, to tell the people around me that maybe have just a little bit of trust in me that, hey, you know, the Father really cares for you. I'm representing. I have to tell you this because in my home country, this is the way this thing goes. I know that you're broken right now, but let me tell you how it works in the home country, and the Father has this desire to bring you back to him so that you can experience the healing, the connection, the partnership, the wholeness that exists all the time perfectly in heaven, but it doesn't quite exist perfectly here. You know, I've never met anybody who didn't want an answer for pain and suffering in this world. Even people that are sworn atheists or super intellectuals still struggle with the problem of pain. This is one of the deals that intellectualism never quite solves. And it's through the cross, which doesn't make as much intellectual sense as we want it to sometimes when we're arguing with people that are just in their heads. But it's through the cross all of a sudden that everybody can realize that if you struggle with pain and you suffer and you're wounded and you're behind the eight ball all the time, that there's somebody who's not only on your team but is inviting you to a place where there is a solution and a resolve. Why do you think when the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray, he didn't first start with proclamations over the city or worship words or recitations from the Old Testament? He just said, this is how you do it. We say, Our Father, ready, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Ambassadorship is the living way that we walk around this world asking the kingdom, which is our heavenly, eternal land, to come and be known through us and all around us to everybody in this world who desperately needs to know that there is a whole, better, wonderful way to live, and it's not the way that we live in this world by our natures. That we need a new nature, and we need a new world. We need a new source and a new destiny. And all that is in the gospel of the kingdom of God. You like that? How I just, right there. Kingdom of God, Cam. It's not just the gospel generic. I've often wondered if we've been misled by little things that we do to the New Testament, like the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John. They didn't say that about themselves, and they didn't write that anywhere. Somebody just put that title on the book. It was never the gospel of anybody. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. And Jesus, when he talked to his disciples, he made it really clear. I don't want you to just go tell people in general that I heal somebody. I want you to tell them that what? The kingdom has come. This is only... it only belongs to someone who functions as an ambassador. You can't be in the... let's go to that next slide. I just put them both up together. You can't be in this world and proclaim to the guest country that you're in that the kingdom has come and expect anybody to bother with you at all. Who's going to listen to you? It's only those who have a message that has authority, and that's why Paul said, we didn't come to you just with speeches and stuff as poor people. We came to you with speeches and with demonstration of power and the authority of the kingdom. Because unless you can come with something to give, you probably don't want to bring up your message. If you can't come with hands to lay and heal, you probably don't need to bring up healing. If you can't come with a message of wholeness, you probably shouldn't start talking to people about helping them reconcile their marriage. If you don't have a message that brings restoration and restitution, there's probably no reason to get involved in local government. But if you have something from the homeland that when you pray, you ask for it to come on earth as it is in heaven, then you can live as an ambassador. Ben. That's the way my aunt said my name when I was growing up. It had two syllables and a Y in the middle. You can make anything Southern if you put a Y in the middle of it. Go ahead and try it. Roll Tide. All right. Okay. I'm just going to glance at Ephesians 6 because I want to make time. Just saw the clock. Listen, Nicolette, you worship too long. You had too much fun in the presence of the Lord. This has got to be a two-part series. I'm coming back next week. Hold on a second. I got to get my personal bearings. I told my wife, in 20 minutes, I can't tell a joke and warm up. I hadn't even gotten to the stuff that I wrote down. Father, help Ben. Help Ben. Here, let's just make this note. In Ephesians 6, if you read it this afternoon, 10 through 20, you'll see the same thing happening again, where it's a pressure and an excitement that Paul has, that when he's telling you to put on the full armor, I just want to make this note for you. He's not telling you so that you can win your own wars. The whole purpose of putting on the full armor of God is so that you can represent. I find in my journey, as I watch believers around me these days and I see people that are struggling with the foundations of the kingdom, they hear about ambassadorship or they read about putting on the full armor and they're still not sure what they're supposed to be functioning in and what they're supposed to be doing. So people go out and pray for things that are strange and claim things that are odd and get into things that are called ministry. But when I look at them and I test them and I start to put some fire underneath them, it seems more like the resource for doing it they discovered on the earth. The valuables they need to continue doing it are here on the earth, and the people they need to approve it are still here on the earth. Paul said that he didn't even have sense enough to judge himself. He didn't even mind if you judged him because he knew his only judge was Christ. There has to be a movement in our heart that moves toward ambassadorship that's also a very humble moment. When we begin to take this into our hearts and say, you know what? Life here is short. Life in this body is short. Some of us have already seen people that we loved pass into the next world, and the grief that comes is almost unbearable except we have a new hope because what Christ has done has solved our deepest woe and our deepest brokenness, and that is that we cannot solve death. When death is solved for us through Christ and he gives us access to the eternal, he did not give it without requirement. That's why the word grace is so foolishly used these days to identify some sort of favor and license. Grace identifies your privilege to be eternal and your requirement to now act like it. Grace supplies you with the ability to be holy because you're holy in Christ. Now it's time to act like it. Grace is what supplies your energy to be righteous because you're righteous in Christ, but now it's time to act like it. And if you're going to take on ambassadorship, you must always be aware that representation of the homeland is your function in this world. So you've got to get your mind around what you're doing in your business. Then am I doing what I'm doing in my business to survive? Or am I doing what I'm doing in my business right now to impress others on behalf of the eternal kingdom? There is a way to do it. I don't care if you're in sales, if you're an executive, or if you drive cargo. There's a way to do your job that impresses people about the nature of the kingdom rather than you just functioning in a mindset that I'm only doing it to survive. There's a way to represent in your families. You can be a leader in your family, be a parent in your family, or be a kid in your family, and you can function there in order to negotiate for survival, to kind of just keep everything together, to not cause chaos, to try to get through, or you can be an ambassador of the kingdom into your family and literally represent when you're talking with people that you love, this is the way it is in heaven, and even though it's not my instinct to be nice right now, I'm going to choose to submit myself to Christ and learn how to be a softer man. Even though it's not my instinct to forgive you because you've already done this 27 times and I'm tired of picking it up off the floor, I'm going to have to tell you that the kingdom, you need, this is going to be, I'm sorry, my mind went about 8 directions. I'm praying the king come deal with you right now. That's right, Robin. Yes, Lord, just bring. There's got to be some authority that you realize you can operate in because you're not just negotiating with your limited earthly resources. You're deciding to make an investment in the world that you live in for a short time so that the kingdom has good representation and so that kingdom things can start to grow now. I'm summarizing this incredible 3-hour-long message as I've now estimated it based on the number of pages that I put together for you. That I wanted to summarize it all into one word. You're welcome. No, that's not the word. Investment. Say it with me. I want to make a kingdom investment. See, you're talking like an ambassador now, and I like the sound of it. Stop praying that you'll just survive your baloney. Everybody's got baloney. Everybody's got pressure. Stop praying to just survive it. Pray that the kingdom would come and that you'd rule it. Stop praying that you would just endure the suffering, even though you certainly need endurance. Get something from the heavens and apply it so that you could be healed and overcome and be something more than a conqueror even. I mean, a conqueror sounds good, but we're going to be more than that? Are you kidding? This is only an ambassador talking. Only an ambassador would say, yeah, we're going to win this war, but I got something better. Our kingdom is going to take over the whole world. Seriously, that's how you get to be more than a conqueror. It's not just that you make it through this week and that this year gets better and that one kid who's driving you nuts does better, your marriage comes together, that you personally get healed. All those things are great, but look, you're going to be even more than conquering those things one at a time. You have an eternal win in Christ Jesus. And that position of having an eternal victory in Him puts you in a new place where your resources now flow from Him. You don't even worry about it anymore. So if I came in here and talked to you about giving, because it's a perfect, if I say investment and we're talking about money and time, I'm going to ask you, as an ambassador to this village, what do you see that you want to invest in that would bring a kingdom representation? That would be your sowing. What is it in this community you see that every time it happens, it is the opposite of the kingdom? Well, that'd be something that you could bind in the name of Jesus. Why don't you start? Pray it out loud. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Only refugees would be afraid to speak their minds because they'll get thrown out of the country. You're an ambassador. If you see something around you and your family, you can put that thing to death if it doesn't represent the kingdom. You can say, that's not the way we do it in our family. That doesn't bring any kingdom life at all. I cannot do that anymore, and you cannot do that anymore. We've got to bring kingdom life into this family. And you can bind and curse, and you can bless and sow. And as a kingdom investor, you can have the authority of your ambassadorship begin to do things in your life that you didn't know were going to happen. Resources will come when you told the Lord they wouldn't come. You said, Lord, we don't have any more money in our budget, so we can't tithe. Thanks, refugee. No. You see whatever the home government says to do, and you say, we're going to do that. Because even if I don't see the supply in this world, there is a supply in God. Otherwise, it's not faith. It's just you showing how strong you are. If you only trust the Lord for what you see in your bank account, well, that's just your strength, and you're going to get your reward here. You're done. But if you trust the Lord for what you don't see, what He's promised and what He's asked you to do, then you're living by faith. It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. So trust the Lord for more. You wouldn't. You know what I've never heard anybody say when I start talking about budgeting and giving and investing? When I say, hey, Paula, did you put a calendar together? Do you plan your schedule? Why don't you just try saying this with me? I don't have enough days, so I don't plan a calendar. Go ahead. Say it. Doesn't that make you feel stupid? It just sounds stupid, doesn't it? Why do I keep hearing young people say, I don't have enough money, so we don't budget? That's stupid. You budget so as an ambassador, the resources you do see, you rule. But you don't budget to prosperity, you faith into prosperity. You trust God for the increase. You steward what you see. So is anybody ready to receive a blessing from the Lord and begin to move out of just the earthly things into the heavenly things? Seriously? Because I think your ambassadorship's on tap. Like, I think you've just gotten the ping pong from the kingdom, and it's time for you to represent. Come on, let's stand up. Let's express some faith into the Lord. Let's say yes to the Lord right now. Raise your hands up to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I trust you. My supply is not in this world. I will steward what I see. But I will believe for what you promise. Now I want you to pray right now and use your mouth. Whatever God's been asking you to invest in and do, whatever thing he's been challenging you on and you've been whining to your wife about how you didn't have the strength to do it or whatever, I want you to tell the Lord right now you repent for that earthly mindset and you repent from being a refugee. Whatever the Lord's called you to do, I want you to tell him right now that you believe him for the supply, even if you can't see it right now. Go ahead, use your words. Believe in for your supply. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't trust in just the seen world. That's foolishness. I'm asking you for the unseen provision from the heavens. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody sense the presence of the Lord? Just put your hands up a little higher. Woo! That was nice. That's like half of y'all. Okay. If you felt the presence of the Lord, I just want you to put your hand on a shoulder next to you, and I want you to bless him with faith. Lord, I bless these people right here next to me to just to believe you more, because faith is just trusting that our supply is not in this world. Faith is believing that you love me when the world says I'm not loved. Faith is me knowing for a fact that whatever you ask for, you will supply and I can participate. Hallelujah. I just bless them right now in Jesus' name with faith. Faith for giving. Faith for sowing. Lord, we bless everything that's been going on in this sweet fellowship, where we've been looking at our community and looking at our fellowship for what we wanted to invest in. I bless your strategic decisions as ambassadors for Christ in this fellowship. I bless the things that you've decided to say no to as a fellowship, because, friends, you can't do everything, but you can do something that the Lord has asked you to. So I bless your assignment, and that you would desire no other man's assignment, but that you would be satisfied with your own. I bless you to release finances, release your time, release your commitment, release your blessings, and go and sow as ambassadors for Christ. Let's pray together. I receive my ambassadorship, and I will represent the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Awesome. Hugs and kisses. Cam?
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.